Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks.
And I'm Liz Carley, aka the Mad Woman with a Bob.
And our guest today is actress Marisol Nichols, who is starting to play a larger role on MTV's Teen Wolf. She's portraying the desert wolf who has a mysterious but slowly unfolding backstory that affects the entire pack. So welcome to the show, Marisol.
Thank you. It's good to be on.
So your character has been hinted at for the past couple of seasons of Teen Wolf, but when did you actually get, I guess, the role?
I think it was last year, and it was literally the day before I was filming it. So
wow.
I didn't know much. Yeah, I didn't know much about the role. They said, you got it. Can you work tomorrow? And that was what I think the audience saw as the teaser end, I think. I don't know if it was the season finale of last year's, but it was the first time you saw me, basically, when I had, see, I'm still learning everyone's names, but I had the guy tied up in a machine gun, and I was saying that I was there to kill my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that was, I believe, the cliffhanger for season 5A, so yeah.
Exactly. So basically, the day before I was shooting, that was when I got the role.
Wow, that's what I call last minute right there.
Yeah, exactly.
So what can you tell us about how they've introduced you into this universe that you are prepared to affect so deeply?
You know, it was sort of a trial by fire. I think I showed up on set the next day, didn't know a thing about my character or anything except for what they had written with my lines, and that was it. So it was like, oh, okay, I'm here to kill my daughter. Got it. Great. Let's kill her. and that's about it. And then slowly, you know, they've been filling me in on backstory, and Shelley Henning's been like really helpful. She's like, okay, so this is the deal. You did this, and I did this, and this is what happened with us. And so this is why I'm obsessed with finding you. I'm like, oh, okay, good. Thank you. So she's been really helpful on sort of catching me up to everything.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. Yeah, it kind of sounds like what I was doing with Summer earlier, because I've seen way more of the show than she has. So I was like, okay, so this is what's happened so far, and this is what happened afterwards, and this is what
exactly.
We saw on the front today. Yeah, so Summer, I apparently am the Shelley Henning to your Marisol Nichols.
There you go.
Exactly.
So what was it like working with a guy like Seth Gilliam? I mean, I'm kind of a fan of his, too. I've seen him on previous shows that he's been on, like Oz and whatnot. How was it working with him, and did he help you kind of feel a little less like a fish out of water dealing with the role, since it was just kind of like you get a call and the next day you're on the set and you're like this?
Yeah. Well, you're like this because that whole scene where I have him tied up and I have the gun and you would think that we work together, they told me when I showed up, I said, where's the other guy? And they said, oh, no, we filmed his part already.
Oh,
like,
no.
And I was like, oh, really? So I never met him. And so I was pretty much just acting with a C-stand, which is the thing that holds up the lights, and pretending like he was there. I didn't meet him until the scene that you guys saw with the big fight with me and Malia,
yeah,
where he's tied up and he's pretty much gagged the whole time.
Yeah.
That's when I actually met Seth. Prior to that, I didn't get a chance to meet with him or work with him, which is very,
well,
funny.
Speaking as a fan, I've just got to say, holy cow on your part, because without you telling me, I never would have known. That one little shot of you, it was just so, oh my God, what the heck is going to happen? I'm trying to censor myself here. what the heck is going to happen when we're dealing with 5B, with just that one little shot, and you deliver that line, and it's just like, crap, man. So bravo to you. Okay. Bravo to you.
Thank you. And actually, you know, in their defense, when I did show up, Jeff Davis was on the set. And so he was like, okay, let me fill you in on what I can fill you in. And he would, you know, he's telling me about the different packs and the different this and the different that. And I'm, where Coyote and this and that. And I was like, okay. But there was so much information coming in so fast that, you know, it was sort of like, okay, I'm going to retain some of this, but probably not all of it kind of thing.
Man.
But at least they were there to fill me in and gave me a great tour of the set and the stages and And I did meet Tyler Posey that first day, who couldn't have been nicer. But again, had no clue who he was or anything. Just like, this is Tyler Posey. I'm like, oh, great. Nice to meet you. How you doing? But, you know, I will say that everyone that I've met has been super nice and extremely helpful and very cool and fun. And it's been a really nice experience.
That's really awesome. Now, I know you haven't had a lot of screen time as of yet on the show, but who have you had a chance to meet within the cast so far, just working day to day, doing what you do?
Well, let's see. So I've met, obviously, Shelley, Tyler, as I mentioned, and Dylan, who plays Styles.
Okay.
Right? Yes. And then I think I briefly got introduced to a couple of the other ones, but I don't know their names yet. There was one guy with his shirt off doing a lot of sit-ups. Nice to meet you. How you doing?
Could have been one of a million hot people.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys can guess which one that was. But the main guys have been those that I just mentioned.
Okay, awesome.
Oh, well, and Seth, of course.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. And, oh, God, what is her name? Beautiful, gorgeous girl, dark skin. What is her name? She's hunting me.
Yeah, you'll have to forgive me. I'm having a brain fart.
Megan, Tandy, Megan.
Yes, she plays Brain.
Thank you.
I was brain farting.
She's wonderful.
Actress's name, but I could remember the character.
Yeah, no, she's very nice. Megan as well.
So you said that Jeff Davis gave you a rundown of your entire background. Is there anything coming up for your character that you can't tease us about just yet or tell us about?
I mean, I can say that I believe my next thing is going to be, I think, the season finale. And I think that's the episode. I'm pretty sure it is. So I would say that knowing Jeff Davis and how he writes things, you can probably guess that it'll be a nice, big, juicy thing to go out like with a bang on. And that's all I cannot say.
Well, you've not said a mouthful, Marisol.
Something
I was actually curious about, speaking of what you can and cannot talk about, mm-hmm. I won't ask you to divulge anything that you cannot say, but to your knowledge, has Jeff given you any information on Desert Wolf or on upcoming parts of the show that we can't know about to inform your choices when you're working? The thing that kind of comes to mind is...
I wish I could say yes, but no. I'm completely in the dark, so I have no idea. I just go, okay, am I dead? Good. Not dead.
Okay.
Awesome. Let's keep going. You know, and it's sort of... I think they're creating it as we go as well, or if they are, they just play their cards very close to the chest, you know? I learn it when I get the script.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that must add a level of difficulty to your acting.
Yeah, but I got used to it. You know, when I was doing 24, it was very similar. They were creating it as we went, and
right.
So I would just flip through the script and go, am I alive? Awesome. I'm alive. Great. Let's go. And it was very, very similar. So I don't mind that. It's okay. It was more the background that I didn't know where I was coming from that was more disconcerting because I had to live up to this story, you know, of who she is and she's tough and this and that and, you know, evil and strong. And I'm like, okay, what kind of woman would want to kill her daughter and why and what's that was my biggest thing is why do I want to kill my daughter? Can someone please inform me on why? What's driving her? So as soon as I found out why, I was like, okay, fine. I can run with that. That I can run with. You know, so it's harder to not know the background than it is to know the future, if that makes sense, as a performer.
Okay. Well, speaking as somebody who has had to kind of develop something out of this wealth of nothing, so to speak. Last week's episode, we did get a little bit more time with you and Malia, and your character did make a few references. It feels weird just to keep calling her the Desert Wolf, but I saw on IMDb.
I know.
Yeah. Well, on IMDb, it shows that the character's name, actual name is Corinne. So that's actually...
Yeah, I learned that when we were shooting.
Well, speaking as Corinne and having to have developed at least a little something there, she did make a few references to, you know, being able to one day call you daughter or, you know,
Yep.
Maybe we can have a familial moment or something. As the actress, do you feel like the Desert Wolf still has any kind of maternal feelings from Aaliyah whatsoever? I mean, just from your perspective, having tried to
do something of it. I do. I think, I mean, I don't know how you cannot. I'm a mom. I don't know how to turn that off. But again, I'm real and not half werewolf and coyote and whatever. So I like to think so. You know, there's that nice moment that at the game where she says, you know, you're definitely my daughter. I think she gets a kick out of it. I think she would want her daughter to be a strong, fierce warrior, even if in the warpness of her mind she wants to kill her. I think she's proud. I think she'd be disappointed if it was like a wimpy little muffin, you know?
Oh.
So I like to think that she's proud of Malia and that she's strong and that she'll fight. I think she enjoys it, you know? I would love to think that somewhere in her mind, if she could do it any other way, then by killing her would be good. But so far, the writing doesn't support that. So
so we have a conflicted mom, a mom who is proud of the strong were-coyote her daughter has become, but mom wants that power back, and sorry, kid, you got to go.
Yeah, that's exactly, like, you got to go. I'm sorry. And, you know, that's it. And you'll
life of a supernatural.
See and get to experience more of that as it goes, which is going to be fun.
So did they give you any insight as to why she became an assassin?
No. I have no information at all. But I know that if there's one thing that drives her, it's getting power. So I would assume, you know, because that's the whole thing. And why did she wait so long to come back? And what was she waiting for? Or did she not know that that was the secret to getting her power back, was killing her daughter? Not until now. Because why didn't she do it in the first place, right? Why drag it out?
Yeah, and this is just me speculating. I'm not pumping you for info or anything. But I'm really curious to find out about what her relationship is with Peter Hale, above and beyond, you know, having a kid. Because
me too. How did that happen?
Yeah, part of me wonders if maybe she came back because of him. Maybe she's here now because somewhere along the way, he's still working again, you know, trying to do something else. Right now, his character's locked up, but
yeah,
they always bring him back.
I like that thought.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Maybe
in a later season, the Desert Wolf, Peter Hale team up, and then the pack can just sit there and go, oh, crap.
That's right. That's right. And I honestly, all I hear, you know, I hear these awesome things on Twitter and stuff, and like something like comparing me to Peter and going, I'm a great mom compared to him. Or no, he's a great dad compared to me. So obviously I know he's bad, but I'm like, what did he do? I actually don't know, and I'm still catching up on back episodes. So if you guys can fill me in, I'd be happy.
Oh my God. The first thing he did was he turned Scott. But how much have you seen so far?
I've seen parts of season 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, yeah. Season 4, you're going to get an earful. I don't want to spoil it for you because there's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Okay, good. Then don't tell me. I'll find out.
Yeah.
Great.
I have to have a brief fangirl moment. It makes me so happy that you're actually watching the show and you're interested. You're like into it. It's like you're on Teen Wolf and you're a fan of Teen Wolf. It makes my little fanish heart go.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm really glad.
And you always have to remember, this is a supernatural show. People may not actually stay dead when they're dead. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. That's good to know.
Very funny. Yeah. I know a lot of people hope that comes into play at some point down the line with Crystal Reed because of reasons.
We won't go there right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good.
Now, Liz dug up something interesting that I never made a correlation with. Now, you were in a series called The Gates, but apparently so were a handful of other people who are now on Teen Wolf.
Really? I mean, I know Colton was.
Yeah, Colton, Melissa Ponzio, she plays Melissa McCall, and Lyndon Ashby, who is styled out.
Wait. Okay, hold on. I'm going online right now. Melissa was on The Gates with me?
She was on one episode. It was like a kind of a bit part, but she played a part of a murder investigation that was going on. And yeah, she was like the victim's lover.
All right, I have to. Obviously, I didn't shoot with her, otherwise I would have remembered her.
Yeah, I was trying to remember if you guys had any scenes. I just binge-watched her on Netflix a couple of weeks ago. And I couldn't remember if you had any scenes. But yeah, the Gates is, you got Lyndon, you got Melissa, you got you, and you got Colton.
Lyndon, okay, who did he play? Ben? That's right! Okay, well, I remember him. That's
yeah.
Right? Oh, he was great. He was very good.
He was amazing. When I back and watched that, I was just like, oh, I can't believe he could be scary so well.
And then there was Melissa. Okay, she played Gloria Bennett.
Yeah.
I don't remember who she was. I probably didn't shoot with her then at all. That must have just been it.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't sure if you had or not. She was only on one episode, but, I mean, she was still there. She had kind of a semi-prominent role in the episode. But, mm-hmm. From the Gates to Teen Wolf, it's like a little bit mind-blowing.
Yeah, and now I'm wondering if there's any production staff in common between the two shows, because I liked The Gates. I was very disappointed that it didn't find an audience quick enough for ABC to keep it going. But I thought it had potential.
Thanks very much. I liked it, too. It was fun. We shot in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is interesting, which is why I'm surprised that certain people overlapped. Because we hired a lot of local people from there. But the bigger roles, we hired people from L.A. and flew them out kind of thing. But I don't know, because I didn't recognize anyone's names. I know that there's one or two of the writers on Teen Wolf that I've worked with before, but it was a long time ago, and I don't remember how and what it was, which is like, we worked together on something. We're still trying to figure out what it was kind of thing.
Well, I just thought that that crossover of that many people was very funny, and apparently you weren't even aware of it, so that's awesome.
No, I knew Colton was, because Colton started on Teen Wolf right after we wrapped The Gate, so that I knew. But I didn't know the other ones. I didn't even recognize, and I haven't worked with Lyndon, so I haven't seen him, so I didn't even put it together. So thank you.
Yes. Glad we can help with that little connection there.
Thanks very much.
One more degree in the Kevin Bacon chain.
Yay.
That's right.
So are there any other tidbits on Teen Wolf you can share without getting into trouble with the powers that be?
The only thing I guess I could share, which is kind of hopefully obvious, but that me and Shelley get along very well. There's no, you know, obviously we don't hate each other, and there's none of that. And that everyone is really nice. And we work extremely long hours. And after I did my fight scene, the one where you saw where we're against the trucks and Seth is tied up and all of that,
right.
It was actually bigger, and I think they cut out some of it, and I couldn't walk for 2 days after that.
Wow.
Oh, no! Poor baby!
So painful. Because I did a lot of it, rather than, I had to stunt to some of it, but most of it I did.
That's awesome.
Myself. And then couldn't walk. It was very funny. I was like, okay. Stunt double. We're going to use a stunt double next time.
now you've got stunt cred, man.
That's right. There you go.
Now, you had mentioned following some of the fan feedback on Twitter. How much interaction with the fans have you had, or are you looking to do more of that when the convention season rolls around this summer?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about conventions. I'd be happy to if I'm available to go. It'd be really, really fun. And I do read all the fan stuff. I will say Teen Wolf fans are awesome. They are awesome. Like, they'll be like, I hate you. Please don't kill me, Leon, kidding. Or, like, or things like that. Or, like, I wish I could hate you, but you're awesome, or something like that. So they're really supportive and very cool, and I really appreciate it, rather than, you know, on other shows that I've been on, they hate your character. They cannot, or they, it's like they can't differentiate between the actress and the character. You know
right.
what I mean? Or they'll get on there just to be mean. And you're like, really? Really? It astonishes me. And these are younger fans, you know, and they have better manners than some of the older fans on other shows that I've done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Seriously. Like, coming from the fandom, I can say, like, as far as Malia's character, I know that there's a group in fandom that does not like her for various reasons. But Teen fans are really good about separating, you know. They don't get too wrapped up in the story. It's like, you know, oh, my God, I hate your character. She's horrible. you know, vicious, but I hope that nobody kills you because I love your work on the show.
Yeah, exactly. They're very enthusiastic and they're sweet and they are passionate about how they feel, but they can differentiate between the real person and the character.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. It's very cool.
Yeah, I think they're actually better about it than some other places, because I'm you know, I participate in a few different fandoms online, and of the fandoms I belong to, I think Teen Wolf fans are better about that than most, and they're just so supportive of everybody and the work they do, regardless of who they're playing.
It's very cool, and I would have to agree with you, given my you know, just based on my experience. I agree, they're amazing. I really appreciate it, you know.
Well, and we appreciate you for being on our little show.
Thanks very much. It's fun.
Cool. Now, you, what else are you working on outside of Teen Wolf? I believe you were in, or still are in, NCIS.
I don't know if I'm going back to NCIS. I had been doing it simultaneously, and I'm also recurring on Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
So my next episode actually airs Wednesday. I play basically the head of the LA FBI division.
Nice.
Anything
good.
Else on tap?
Well, I mean, it's been a little busy with everything, but uh-huh. I love Criminal Minds. It's been a blast doing it. I really enjoy it, and it shoots here in LA as well, so it makes it possible that I can go from show to show, kind of thing. And it's cool. I like everyone there. They're very nice. I mean, they've been on the show air for, what, 13 years or something like that?
Yeah.
So it's really nice.
That's awesome. And I have to say, I was really kind of impressed, along with all the stuff that you do, you know, as far as your acting resume, you're very versatile. I mean, you were great in the, I guess what was your big break with Vegas Vacations, of the, mm-hmm. Vegas, the National Lampoon movies, and then your great natural stuff, the gritty crime stuff. And I was also really impressed to see that you do a lot of charitable work with, human mm-hmm. trafficking organizations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have my own actual nonprofit for human trafficking that I started about a year ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Slavery Free World. And it came out of my travels and my work on trafficking and going back and forth to D.C. and meeting with different organizations. And I produce these big trafficking events where I award those organizations that rescue the girls and rehabilitate the girls and really just are making a huge difference. So I started producing these events to shine a spotlight on them, particularly with an audience in Los Angeles that can help do something about it. And then I just finally said, okay, I'm just going to form my own foundation and go from there. So that's what I've been doing.
That is so cool.
Thanks very much.
Beyond admirable. Human trafficking is one of those mm-hmm. issues that is pervasive and not enough attention is being paid to it.
Yep.
So
by a mile. And when you find out about it, you know, it's really, not to bring everything down, but it's pretty shocking. And there isn't one person I've ever talked to about it or met that wasn't like, how can I help? What can I do? Can I do something? I want to be involved. How can I, you know, everyone, it's such a universal thing. It transcends any politics, any religion, any, you know, economic background. It doesn't matter. It affects everything. So,
and the fact that you're being mm-hmm. proactive about doing something about it, I don't think talking about that's a downer at all. I think it's really inspiring. And it's good to see people like you with your organization, Kevin Smith with the Wayne Foundation, and everybody who, like, they see a problem, and they go, what can I do? I can do this. And they just, mm-hmm. they go for it. And I just think that's wonderful.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And thanks for mentioning it. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome.
We will definitely try to point people in the direction of your foundation. What's the name and the website?
Yeah, it's called Slavery Free World. And the website literally is slaveryfreeworld.com.
Okay. We will mm-hmm. include links to that.
Thanks.
But I think we are tapped in as far as spoiler-free Teen Wolf questions we can ask you.
Exactly. Thank you. Yep, I try.
But I know our listeners and the rest of the Teen Wolf fans out there are looking forward to whatever climactic event is in store for us when the season 5B comes to a head.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for people to see it. It's fun.
I live in a constant state of, is it Tuesday yet? Because that's when it's
I hear, you know, I love this whole Teen Wolf Tuesday. It's Teen Wolf Tuesday. It's really awesome. Yeah, I love the enthusiasm.
Yeah, last season the air date was Monday, so it became that Monday was Moon Day.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, is that what Moon Day is about? Because I see it on Twitter, but I don't know what it's about.
Yeah, okay. That's what it was. Yeah, Teen Wolf moved from Monday to Tuesday. So before it was, you know, it's Moon Day, time for Teen Wolf. But now it's Teen Wolf Tuesday.
Oh, that's really funny. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's incredible. You do any of the Teen Wolf cast do live tweeting?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, I'm guessing. I thought Shelley was doing one for the last episode. But I could be wrong. I thought they did. Yeah, I thought I've seen that like on MTV and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen
where MTV will tweet it out, you know?
Yeah, I think I follow most of the cast. And from time to time, I think they do like at least a little live tweeting. Mm. I know, I think Tyler does some. I've seen Linda do a little bit. And
okay.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit.
Yeah, I think Melissa Ponzio does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 'cause I went into Twitter one time and I didn't find as much. Maybe it was just a slow night or I was following the wrong hashtag. I don't know.
It's very hard to tweet when Teen Wolf is on because most of the time you're sitting there staring at your screen going, what? 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 And like, oh, wait, I'm live tweeting this. Yeah. What? And then you tweet that.
Awesome. Yeah, I think there's enough fans live tweeting and catching up, and right after, it's like the Twitter universe kind of explodes right afterward. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't know if they're doing their after show this season. I think they're not, but in previous seasons, you always had the after show to talk about, too, and, you know, if Tyler was around, God help you, because he's always doing something goofy. I love that boy.
He's funny. He's fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for your time today, Marisol.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Again, Marisol Nichols playing the Desert Wolf on MTV's Teen Wolf Tuesdays. Check it out. Follow the links to her organization and support it if you can. If you're in the LA area, go to an event, support it. We will have links to all of that and to Teen Wolf stuff as usual. But again, thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
I love it when interviews are that much fun and you just want to keep talking for as long as you can. But alas, people have lives and stuff to do, so they can't talk to us all day long. I want to thank Liz for her enthusiasm with which she and a few other slicers here on staff are following Teen Wolf and a few other shows. So you folks out there listening, what are you watching? You want to talk about it? You want us to talk about it? What are you watching this mid-season? What are you looking forward to coming up in March and April? I know that season 2 of Daredevil is tops on my list, as is season 2 of 12 Monkeys. When does Hunter start on Sci-Fi? I will have to look that up. In any case, there are a few more things that spring brings, including baseball season, yay, and the anticipation for all of the blockbuster movies that are coming along this spring and summer. I know people are looking forward to Captain America Civil War, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, and also Suicide Squad. And we have the Independence Day sequel, which I'm intrigued as to how they're going to follow that up 20 years on We also have X-Men Apocalypse. I don't know if they're going to do Apocalypse right. I hope they do. I really do. I don't know if I could stomach a bad X-Men movie after the past two, but we'll see. We'll see how that works out. I need to get out of the house and go see Deadpool. That might be something I do this weekend. I have to see Deadpool. I really do. So I'll make that my personal assignment, to watch Deadpool before the next episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. How's that? Anyway, that will do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, any insights into Teen Wolf you want to leave for us, the number to call is 602-635-6976, or send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Go over to iTunes, leave us a review. Your feedback helps. It really does. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google Plus, Slice of Sci-Fi over there. As always, you can come to the website, SliceOfSciFi.com. We also have WritersAfterDark.com, PopCultureGeeks.com. Yes, new site. Some of the Patreon folks got a sneak peek of that. Your feedback, as always, is welcome. And yeah, Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas. There is a reboot coming. You know me. I'm just juggling too many glass balls and trying not to drop any of them. There will be ninjas. There will be ninjas. Trust me. There will be ninjas. And if you want some other entertainment to check out, go over to districtofwonders.com, the family of podcasts over there. Tales to Terrify, Farfetched Fables, and of course the Hugo Award-winning Starship Sofa. Yours truly has narrated some stories for them over the years, and there are some new ones coming along. So if you like fantasy, sci-fi, or horror short story reads in podcast form, go over to districtofwonders.com and pick your favorite. Again, thank you for everyone who's donating, supporting the show through Patreon over at patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Your pledges help. Your pledges keep this website hosted, keep the media hosted. It keeps the entertainment flowing. So you provide, I provide. It's the entertainment consumption circle of life. Yeah, I think so. That's what it is. Again, thanks so much to my good friends over at Sci-Fried for the awesome theme music we have. Sci-FriedBand.com if you want to check out more awesome geek rock. And once again, that will be all for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.